Good morning. It is time to get up with AD ASAP. Trouble for LeBron's Lakers. If the big man is down, are they about to be done? Meanwhile, this superstar expected to be dealt this week. Which team is a Julio away from winning the Super Bowl? And it's a critical week for Aaron. We'll tell you one big reason to believe the leverage remains very much on his side. All that and more as we get up with you on this Memorial Day Monday on ESPN. Greeny here, delighted you've chosen to be there. We are jam-packed on this morning, a lot of hoops. And we'll get to the football with this fine collection of insight. Jeremy Fowler is ready to go. We got Nink. We got Neek. We are ready to roll. And we'll get to all of that, but we begin with the NBA postseason action. Game of the night was the Suns-Lakers game four in L.A. LeBron looking to take a 3-1 series lead. And in the second quarter, it was looking good. Chris Paul was a late add. He would go. So would LeBron. Take a look here. Working his way around the defense. Throw it up and throw it down. LeBron James doing chin-ups on the rim. Markieff Morris can't believe what he sees. Take another look at LeBron as he goes up and throws it down. The Lakers a two-point lead, but here's the moment that might have changed everything. Final minute of the half. Lakers down by one. Watch the top of your screen. Anthony Davis coming in, and he appears to step on the foot. I'll show it to you again. Of DeAndre Ayton as he goes down. He was hurt already coming in here. He would leave and not return. It's a left groin injury for Anthony Davis. More on that coming up. Meanwhile, third quarter, the Lakers would miss him desperately. They would shoot just 3 of 16 from the floor. And again, Chris Paul talked his way into the starting lineup and made his presence felt. Minute and a half to go. Look at the frustration that LeBron is setting in as Schroeder misses. Just watch LeBron here. Just the head goes down. He knows it. Without Anthony Davis, this team doesn't have it. LeBron, 25-12. But take a look at Crowder in the corner with the three. Suns even up the series. They take home court advantage back with an 8-point win in game four.
Well, I mean, it's next man up. And obviously, if he's not ready for game five, it's going to be a tough blow for our ball club. But, you know, next man up. And we've been like that all year. And, you know, we're going to have to be like that in the hostile environment in game five.
Well, so the Lakers are 11-7 this year in games that LeBron James plays and Anthony Davis does not. But that doesn't tell the full story. They were 1-6 in those games against teams that made the playoffs this year and outscored by 7 points a clip. Simply put, if AD is down, the Lakers are in trouble. More on that to come. Meanwhile, speaking of trouble, game four, Nets, Celtics, Brooklyn up 2-1, under 4 in the first. The big three would go nuts in this game. Early on, it's Kevin Durant. Look at him driving through the lane, 17 in the first for KD. And then in the second quarter, the other members of the big three. That's James Harden throwing it down. And then it's Kyrie Irving, as only he can with the left hand. The big three scored 104 points in this game. Under 4 minutes to go in the third, Nets are pulling away. They're up by 23. That's Kyrie, and it's good. So the Nets would win it, 141-126, but an ugly finish. First to see Kyrie appearing to go after the logo here, and then as he's leaving the floor, some idiot throws a bottle at him. You see it clearly there. The good news, if there is any, is that everyone saw who it was, so everyone is pointing at him, and that fan, if you will, wound up being arrested. You see how close that came to hitting Kyrie Irving. It's been a rough start to the playoffs from a fan behavior perspective. Let's talk about it.
Just see that people just feel very entitled out here. You know, they pay for the tickets, great. I'm grateful that they're coming in to watch a great performance, but it's just, you know, we're not at the theater. We're not throwing tomatoes and other random stuff at the people that are performing.
Fans got to grow up at some point. I know that being in the house for a year and a half with the pandemic got a lot of people on edge, got a lot of people stressed out. But when you come to these games, you got to realize, man, these men are human. You know, we're not animals. We're not in a circus.
So a very difficult start to the NBA postseason from a fan behavior standpoint, and we will have much more on that as we continue. Guys, do we have Woj here, or shall I go to the NFL? I'm not quite clear. Okay, let's go to the NFL then. Tomorrow, June 1st, is the day we've had scheduled for quite some time because of a possible Julio Jones trade. Moving him after that date provides the Falcons further salary cap relief. And our Diana Russini tweeted over the weekend, the Falcons continue to field calls from teams interested in trading for Julio Jones. The Seahawks have had discussions about a possible trade with Atlanta per sources. In fact, Russell Wilson and Julio have spoken to discuss the possibility of playing together. So a lot to unpack there, and Jeremy Fowler gets the first crack at unpacking it with us this morning. Jeremy, what can you tell us about the urgency here? How soon are we expecting something to happen with Julio Jones?
Well, Greeny, from what I'm hearing, something could go down as early as Wednesday. That's when the team could pick up the cap relief post June 1st. Asking around the league, the team I hear most often is the San Francisco 49ers. They have nearly $20 million in cap space, the Kyle Shanahan connection with Julio. But you hear that the teams like the Titans are lurking. You hear some of the Rams. And then, of course, the Seahawks have had a discussion, although they value their limited draft capital and want to try to keep that. Also, a sleeper here is the Baltimore Ravens. I'm told they're willing to get involved if it's at the right price.
Okay, so those are some of the possible bidders, and the urgency is there. This is expected to happen this week. Dominique Foxworth, give me a team that you think is Julio Jones away from winning the Super Bowl.
I think Jeremy said it off the top. It's the 49ers. They have a group of very good receivers, but they don't have anybody as great as Julio Jones. Their number one offensive weapon is a tight end named George Kittle, who is outstanding. But it takes this offense to another level when you have somebody on an edge like Julio Jones. And, of course, Julio is quite comfortable with Kyle Shanahan. We remember how good they were together when they made that Super Bowl run, how great Matt Ryan was in that situation. I think with a young quarterback, having somebody like Julio Jones on the edge really helps this team out. And Julio would be in a great situation because he would not have to put the offense on his back. Yeah. Like we mentioned before, they have good running backs, great offensive line, and some good receivers. No one as good as him, but some good receivers. It's a great situation for an aging superstar whose career is pretty close to complete. Only thing he needs now is a Super Bowl.
You know, there was a moment in time where we thought maybe Matt Ryan would leave Atlanta and wind up rejoining Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. That obviously didn't happen. Now it could happen, I suppose, with his longtime favorite weapon. Ninko, how about you? Where do you have your eyes on right now?
Well, last week, last time I was on the show, I said that Julio would be a great fit for the LA Chargers, which I still think that he would be a great fit. Think about that offense in having Julio with a young quarterback going into his second year. But the news of Seattle being in the mix would make me really think that a duo of DK Metcalf and Julio would basically be unstoppable. And listen, if Julio goes to Seattle, that will be the last we hear of Russell Wilson talking of trade or anything about being unhappy, because it doesn't matter how his offensive line blocks. If you have Julio and you have DK Metcalf, I think that Russell Wilson possibly would be the favorite with those two offensively to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, so if he goes to Seattle, they are instantly a Super Bowl team to me.
Well, the teams that we're talking about here, I mean, Jeremy, the 49ers don't have a first-round pick in this year's draft. They traded it for the quarterback. The Seahawks don't have a first-round pick in this year's draft. They traded it for the safety. So there's not what exactly are we expecting the compensation to be here in the opposite direction? Because if we're talking about those teams, we're probably not, well, at least in this coming draft, not talking about a first-round pick.
Well, the Falcons are aiming for a first-round pick, Greeny, but it's not a slam dunk that they get it. Even if they have the on the table from somebody, it could be a conditional pick, or it could be a situation where a team is asking Atlanta to front some of that $15 million in 2021 guarantees. That's the hang-up. I talked to some execs who said Atlanta asking for a first-round pick and $15 million is sort of nuts. They're going to have to find a sweet spot to get this to the finish line. But you're talking about Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, all don't have a first-round pick. They give them away in trades. It's an arms race in the NFC West. They got to do whatever possible to get the best player at their position.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams would be an intriguing possibility as well. And then if you're the Falcons and you want to trade them out of the conference, you've got teams in the AFC like the Patriots. We have heard a little bit. Go ahead, Dominique, put a bow on it.
Yeah. Nah, I like Julio as much as the next guy, but the idea that him going to Seattle makes him a Super Bowl contender, I think is a little bit absurd. Like, their issues are not with pass catching. Their receiving core can only get so much better, and I think that defense is still a problem, that offensive line is still a problem, and Russell Wilson, they're going to have to become the Brooklyn Nets and just outscore everybody going forward if that's what they think they're going to do up there. And I'm glad you put up the graphic with Tyler Lockett, because Ninkovich over there acting like Tyler Lockett just gets forgotten. He was just as productive as DK Metcalf.
What do you think, Nink?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Lockett, Julio, and Metcalf.
Okay.
Like, give me okay. Stop that. Like, there you go. Like,
yeah, I thought you were a defensive guy. You're a defensive guy, and now you're like, oh, they add another receiver. Look, they're going to win the championship.
We're jumping on Kansas City and like all these teams with great offenses, like, yeah, offenses win championships now. We all know that it's all about scoring points, and that's what the why the league changed all the rules on illegal contact, the defensive holding. I mean, they want to score points. If you have DK Julio, they're going to score points.
This breaks my Dominique. Heart. I lost the linebacker today, and it makes me sad.
I'll say this. You just said they're going to have to be the Brooklyn
businessman.
Nets.
Come on now.
The Brooklyn Nets are up 3-1 in their first-round series and looking like they might just win the championship, so we will see. All right, we'll leave it there for the moment. Much more to come. It is a critical week, not just for Julio. How about for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Who has the upper hand in that conversation? Is Green Bay any closer to moving on from the superstar quarterback? We'll talk about it. And speaking of superstar quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes wants to make history in a huge way. Wait till you hear his goal for 2021. All that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and late last night, Clippers-Mavericks, Dallas trying to take a 3-1 lead in the series behind that young superstar, Luka Doncic, but it was the Clippers superstars who would come to play last night. The first quarter, all about Kawhi. 10 points in the first, all in the paint. Second quarter, all about Paul George. He had 13 in the second, clips a 15-point lead. 2 minutes to go in the half. Still Clippers by 15. And watch Kawhi. Again, the spin, the slam, a 16-point halftime edge for the Clippers, early third. It's an 18-point game. Leonard, again, he had 29 points, 10 boards. Clippers just pouring it on. 5 minutes and change to play in the third. Leonard kicking it. Marcus Morris Jr. for three. Home team has not yet won a game in the series. Clippers take it in grand fashion, 106-81. And Luka Doncic struggling with the neck. If he's forced to miss time, the Mavs are all but done. They're 2-4 this year without Luka, getting outscored by nearly 4 points, shooting 5 percentage points worse. Again, that series now tied at 2 games apiece. Back to the NFL, we catch up on the biggest storyline of the offseason. Aaron Rodgers last week choosing not to attend Packers OTAs as his standoff with the front office seemingly has no end in sight. The 37-year-old quarterback has 3 years remaining on his contract with the team. And as we now approach the beginning of June, when the wheeling and dealing can begin in places that choose to wheel and deal, Jeremy, what are we hearing coming out of Green Bay?
Well, Greeny, here's the latest. The Packers are no closer to an Aaron Rodgers deal. They still have no intention to trade him. They've tried to be consistent in that message privately and publicly. Talking to other teams, there's no real trade buzz, and they believe Green Bay is simply waiting this out, hoping for the best. That's why minicamp in a few weeks is significant, because that's when they can start to fine players for not showing up. So if Aaron Rodgers is posting Hawaii pics in a few weeks, then they got a bigger problem.
Well, let's get to that for a minute here, because Dominique and I have a game that we love to play. We love to psychoanalyze people from afar, particularly those that we really don't know that well. And I think Aaron falls into that category for us both. But here's what I will say to you, Dominique. I will just pose this as my thought. Aaron Rodgers has been ridiculously famous for two decades. He has been romantically involved with other very famous people multiple times before. And never in my life have I seen pictures of him on vacation until last week, when for the very first time he's skipping OTAs, and they happen at the same exact time that his teammates are on the field going through OTAs. I ask you, Dominique Foxworth, is that a coincidence?
Absolutely not. That was a choice. Aaron Rodgers, I think when we get in these situations, we understand that the leverage lies with the person who is more comfortable with their alternative. Right now, the alternative for Aaron Rodgers is to be in one of the most beautiful places in the world with other rich and famous people. The alternative for the Green Bay Packers is Blake Bortles. So I think that what he is doing is solidifying his power. And if I was LaFleur or Gutekunst, I would be calling Aaron Rodgers every day, leaving Stevie Wonder songs on his voicemail, trying to get him to understand that I will love him always and please come back.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And yet maybe they are. It certainly seems as though they've tried and he's not taking those calls. Nick, what do you think?
Well, the last time I checked, just waiting things out in a relationship really doesn't work. I mean, you have to go and you have to work on things. You got to be honest. You got to be forthcoming and truthful. And I think that in this particular situation, you know, there's been some stuff that's gone down in the past where Aaron Rodgers seems to be at a point where he's like, look, I'm done. I'm done. And when you hear that in any relationship, when you hear I'm done, it can be a little nerve-wracking because you don't know what that necessarily means. And with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, a Hall of Fame quarterback who's been in your organization for a long time, for him to have an issue where in OTAs and minicamp, when he's usually there working on timing and working with your receivers, he's in Hawaii somewhere sipping on a Mai Tai in his swim trunks working on his suntan, that could be an issue opposed to being somewhere – you know, working on his passing game. So I
have
know,
to admit
but it doesn't
that
seem
I was
like a good situation.
I'll surprise Aaron Rodgers had more abs than I anticipated. Good for him. But Nick, I have to push back on one thing. I'm done is pretty clear to me. Like, I'm done is it's not a situation where I don't know what that means. I've never been told I'm done because look at me. But if someone did tell me I'm done, I would understand. That means that they don't want to call me. They don't want me to call them anymore. They're sick of it. But I guess in this situation, you can't give up. Like, they have to go after him because I think that Jordan Love is not the answer there. It seems pretty clear that not very many people believe in them, especially with one of the notes that I know, Greeny, you were talking about is the receivers aren't coming to these mini camps or these OTAs right now. So that suggests that everyone accepts that Aaron Rodgers is the answer, the only answer, and they need to figure out how to convince him that somehow jumping off of cliffs in a tropical destination is not as good as throwing balls in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Ooh, the snow. No, thank you.
So that was going to be my next question to you, Dominique. All of his receivers didn't show up last week. Was that a coincidence?
Absolutely not, because they show up. They've shown up with him in the past. And to me, this is the time where they should show up. Because right now the quarterbacks that they have don't have much experience with them. So this is a time where they should show up, but they're not showing up because they're making it quite clear. There's a divide. And they're on Aaron's side. And that's not a good thing for the organization. That's not a good thing for the culture going forward. And they took a big risk by drafting Jordan Love. It's always a big risk when you draft a quarterback that high, even if you don't have a star quarterback there. But that risk seems like it paid off at first, but it's backfiring big time right now.
Let me throw a different thought into this mix if I can here, because yes, ultimately, and I think, Rob Ninkovich, I saw this in your notes today, your leverage basically depends on how good your options are. And for a little while, running around in Hawaii in bathing suits are your notes. Doesn't matter whose notes they were. We all get it. Your leverage is your realistic options. Aaron Rodgers is not going to spend the rest of his life in Hawaii running around like this. So
Why
if
not?
Indeed his... Well, just because generally speaking, people don't. Football, especially for quarterbacks, is one of those jobs people want to keep doing as long as they possibly can. And Jeremy, I feel to me like you're telling me, like the idea of him getting traded to Denver or anywhere else has never felt farther away. And the longer that continues to be the case, then one could argue maybe the more the leverage tilts back in the direction of the Green Bay Packers, because playing for them versus playing for someone else, that's one decision to make. Playing for them versus never playing again is an entirely other one, Jeremy.
Yeah, and the leverage could be that he's willing to sit out a year, which seems unfathomable for a former MVP to do that. That's a question people around the league are asking, though, because of his actions. This is a guy who's made more than $200 million in his career. Maybe he can handle a few million dollars in fines and go host Jeopardy and have a great time in California and Hawaii or wherever he wants to be. And so I think that threat, even if paper thin, is sort of real right now. So Green Bay knows that its options are as good as just waiting. You know, that's their best option right now. And so something has to give. It's a bit of a face-off. And so in minicamp, at least, we'll get more clarity because we'll know how committed he is to staying away or not.
All right. I'm going to come back to this, Dominique, I promise. Okay. I'll let you get back in on this. But there's something you need to see. In fact, everyone needs to see this. Was everyone watching last week at the OTAs for the Patriots when their new quarterback, Mac Jones, was assigned the uniform number 50? That is Rob Ninkovich's number. They gave Mac Jones, the quarterback, your number. What is your reaction?
Listen, Mac Jones, if you ever need to call me, I'll teach you everything I know about the quarterback position, okay?
Now look.
When I first saw that photo, I thought it was really odd to see a quarterback with such a big number. It's like watching a receiver run around with number 63. I understand Bill has a process and how he does things. Guys coming in, they have to earn the right to wear a certain number. You know, to be a quarterback and wear number 50, I wouldn't say it's the prettiest thing that I've ever seen, no.
I get it. Speaking of pretty things, is this your face superimposed onto the – well, what do we got here? Is that what exactly is it I'm looking at here, gentlemen? Because this is Nink on Mac's body throwing the ball. Dominique, your reaction?
I thought Andrew Luck came back. I was getting excited. I thought we were getting Andrew Luck back in the league. That beard looks very Andrew-ish.
It's quite a look.
Nick, let's not disrespect the beard, okay? I think I got a way better beard than Andrew Luck, okay?
That's fair.
He had the chin beard. I have like the high beard, you know.
Got full coverage
fair enough.
Right there.
One way or another, that is what's going on.
The most elusive quarterback.
And this is what's coming up here as we continue. Speaking of quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes has his eyes set on another NFL record. What he wants the Chiefs to do that no team has ever done before, that's on the way. Plus, what happens if AD can't return to the Lakers lineup? Can they beat the Suns without him? We'll answer those questions as we continue. And then we'll see if Seth Greenberg, no relation, is able to answer this one from Sneaky Hembo. Which player has the highest playoff scoring average in Lakers history? That is the question, and the answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Take a look at that.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and did you see this Saturday? Padres, Astros, Fernando Tatis. I just want you to look at this from a different angle, and you will see the way he is able to spontaneously contort his body. I don't know how to explain what he's doing with his back leg there, Dominique, but what is your reaction to that?
I don't know. If you just put that on a loop, it looks like a dance move, and it also looks like an injury. It is incredible and outstanding. I thought when I first saw this video, I was sad. Like, man, Tatis goes down again. But apparently he's fine and his body can do that. It's incredible.
I don't know what to call it. And the fact that he did it spontaneously and out of necessity is just remarkable. He is, Hembo once called him the most aesthetically pleasing player in baseball, and I think that is reasonable. He is probably also the most talented, and after that, thank goodness he's okay. Let's bring in a man who could absolutely do that if he needed to, and that is Seth Greenberg. Seth, here's the trivia question for you today. Seth, which player has the highest playoff scoring average in the history of the Lakers?
There's a lot of guys that could fit this bill. I mean, it could be Kareem, it could be Elgin Baylor, it could be Jerry West, but I gotta go with Kobe Bryant. Come on, Hembo, I know you set me up on this one, but I'm gonna go with Kobe, and now you're gonna be laughing somewhere.
The correct answer was actually on the tip of your tongue. It's Jerry West, and he did it all
the time. He set me up, it's unbelievable. Bring in Graziano. Because he owns Hembo.
West did it at a time where there were no three-point shots, and he is the all-time leader. We'll talk about the Lakers in a minute, but speaking of three-point shots, let's talk about someone who knows how to make those, Hawks and Knicks, and there's Trae Young with a hoodie that says, "Can't believe you doubted me," and he left no doubt yesterday. For the second straight game, the Hawks exploding in the third quarter. This one was close at halftime, and it wasn't by the time Trae Young and company got done with the third. Look at the moves there. The Hawks just pulling away as he makes the move on Reggie Bullock. You see the fans, ice tray, ice cold. He was feeling it. Hawks outscored the Knicks by 13 in the third. Then in the fourth, the frustration setting in for New York. Things getting chippy. Hawks up 23. That's Danilo Gallinari. Little elbow in the back there on Reggie Bullock, who didn't like it. And he had to be held back from going after him. And so then coming out of a timeout, that Bullock would be on the bench. And they're going to get the ball to Gallinari, and Julius Randle is going to send a message with a forearm shiver. He would get a flagrant one for that. He wouldn't return after that. He scored 23 with five turnovers. Trae Young had 27 points, nine assists. What's really important is the Atlanta Hawks have taken total control of this best of seven series with the great performance of that man, Trae Young, in his first four career playoff games. He has created 204 points. He has been simply unstoppable. And again, the Hawks just look like they are definitively the better team. And so let me bring Seth into the conversation on that thought. What are you seeing now through four games of a series we thought was supposed to be completely evenly matched?
The Hawks are a better basketball team. They have more ways to score. They have more playmakers, shot makers, and they got Trae Young. And, you know, look, the playoffs are about adjustments, but the Knicks have very few adjustments. The one adjustment, they've got to trap and get the ball out of Trae Young's hands, because if he has the ball in his hands, he's either going to score it or make a play for someone else. But it's the complementary players that really kind of make his game even that much easier, because if you do double them, they can get the ball reversed and have shot makers. The Knicks, what's their offensive adjustment? All right, Atlanta's going to double Randle. All right, and when he kicks it out, who makes a play? They don't have floor games or shot makers. This series is over.
I agree with you. The Knicks are a testament to how many regular season games you can win if you just play hard every night, because not everybody does. But when you get into a situation like this, the Hawks are just the better team. And very quickly, just what are we seeing in Trae Young? Again, we just put up that statistic about what he's done in these first four games. What is he becoming right in front of our eyes right now?
He's got a PhD in ball screen offense. He's become a junior Steph Curry, quite honestly. His ability to navigate, put his defense on skates, he shoots it with logo range, but it's not the logo range. It's all the other things, the pace that he's playing with. The game is in slow motion to him. He reads all five defenders every time he comes off that ball screen. Every single decision you make defensively, he has a solution for. All right, you trap him, he's going to hit the short roller. If you help off the weak side, he's going to skip it. They're going to knock down threes. All right, his ability to see the defense and make the right play, he's dominated the game from the point guard position, and the Knicks have no solution.
I'm with you. Over the last week and a half, Trae Young has gone from a name everybody knows to a legit NBA star. Meanwhile, let's speak of another star here. Going back to the Lakers, Anthony Davis leaves the game with an injury to the groin, did not return. It didn't look good. If Davis doesn't come back, what happens to the Lakers in what is now a best of three with Phoenix?
Yeah, the Phoenix win. As long as Chris Paul stays healthy, Phoenix will win this series. I mean, Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the NBA, an elite defender. He gets to the free throw line. He changes their DNA. Here's my question. Lakers, you're struggling. One, Drummond out, Gasol in. He can stretch the defense and open up the floor for LeBron James to at least drive it and get to the rim. And what's happened to Montrezl Harrell? He was the sixth man of the year a year ago. He can't get in the game. But here's the deal. If AD doesn't play, this series is over.
Remarkable. We could be that close to the Lakers getting bounced here. So all eyes and ears will be on that injury situation. And Seth, we'll come back to you in just a little bit. That's my uncle Seth, no relation, Seth Greenberg, with us here. Meanwhile, quickly, thanks, back man, to the NFL. And let's talk about another superstar. Let's talk about Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who was 25-4 in the regular season over the last 2 years, made the Super Bowl both of those years, and of course won one of those two. And yet, looking ahead to 2021, Patrick Mahomes has his sights set on even bigger and better things. Listen to this.
Are there any records that you have your eyes set on breaking?
Yeah, the only record that I have my eyes set on breaking, which would be, it'd be new this year, going 20-0.
Okay.
You know, it's not really a record to be broken, I guess you'd say, but I think 19-0 is the record right now, so being able to go 20-0, be the first one to do that, that'd be awesome.
To be clear, no one has gone 19-0. A team that, when the Dolphins went the perfect season, they went 17-0 because the regular season was only 14 games then. But Rob Ninkovich, you weren't on the Patriot team that won their first 18 games, but I know from all the guys you played with that you have an interesting perspective on this.
Yeah, I think that being undefeated, really, we all go into the season saying, yeah, you want to win every game, but being undefeated is an unnecessary pressure. And I can remember back to, you know, 2010, 2011, when you would just lose your first game, it was like a relief just knowing, okay, well, all that undefeated stuff, you know, everyone outside the building can stop talking about it because it can really put a certain stress on you that really you don't need it. I mean, if you think about the 2007 Patriots, I'm sure everybody on that roster would say that they'd rather have lost a regular season game than losing that one game in the Super Bowl. Is probably more devastating than anything else you could think of. So for me, I get it. I mean, I love the competitiveness of Patrick Mahomes, but to say 20-0, it really puts a pressure on your team that in today's game, it's not necessary to even win every game. I know you never say that, but at one point in the season, if you lose one game and slip up, you learn from that mistake. You'd rather lose in the regular season than in the playoffs or especially the Super Bowl. So I just think that 20-0, yeah, it's great to say it, but I think it's just unrealistic.
Dominique, what do you think?
I think for teams like this, you got to find ways to motivate yourself. And I know losing in the Super Bowl is enough motivation, but from week to week, we saw them last year play in close games with teams that we thought they were better than, and even lose to teams that we thought that they were much better than. So I imagine part of this might help them from a motivational standpoint, but I understand what Rob is saying. It's an emotional tax. Every week, the pressure ramps up. And we talk about like physical exhaustion, and we don't talk as much about psychological and emotional exhaustion. And I imagine that if you get to week 10 and you haven't lost, you get to week 14, you haven't lost, you're at week 18, you haven't lost, there's a lot of pressure. And that's even before you get to the playoffs. And then the pressure keeps ramping up. And I think that you could get to a point where you are quite taxed by the time you get to that championship game emotionally more than physically.
And Jeremy Fowler, you were telling us in our meeting this morning, the Chiefs believe they are markedly better than they were when they walked off the field at the end of the Super Bowl. Why is that?
Yeah, Green, Mahomes is probably riding high off of OTAs and seeing his team in person and those big new offensive linemen getting excited. Because I asked around to some Chiefs people, they said, look, we need to get our edge back. We just simply weren't as good of a roster as we thought we were. You go to two Super Bowls, it's just not enough. So they loaded up in the draft and free agency. And there was a sense last week like, okay, we don't know exactly where this is going to go, but as far as overall talent, we're in the best place we've been in a very long time.
Yeah, so Dominique, quickly back to you. The pressure is what the pressure is. Wanting it is whatever it is. Assuming you go on the field every single week trying to win a football game, and this year being the one seed is more important than it's ever been in the history of the league. Dominique, can they do it?
I think they can. Yeah, I think it's a long shot, obviously, because chances are they're going to slip up one time or another. But I think that they have been the best team in football for the past 3 years. Even though they haven't won the Super Bowl every year, they've probably been the best team in large part because of how good Patrick Mahomes is. I think a lot of people are going to pick them to win the Super Bowl coming into the season, and they're likely to be favorites in every game they play. So absolutely, they can win every game. Should they want to? It's a different question. And I think that goes back to what Rob was saying. That's a lot of emotional tax on them. But yes, they're good enough to beat everybody that's on their schedule this year.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that there. Let me take a short break on that thought on this Memorial Day. We continue in just a moment. And a reminder that the Memorial Day triple header from the majors is coming your way today on ESPN. Starting 1 o'clock Eastern, we'll have the Twins and the Orioles. Then the Red Sox play the Astros in Houston. And finally, it's the Royals and the Pirates. It's our triple header of action today on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, he is headed into his second season in the NFL, but is it already a make-or-break year for Tua? Dominique will answer that question. And how healthy is Odell? And is he the key to a Cleveland Super Bowl run? Answers to all those and other questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is that time again, the time where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, some of them about football, some of them not, to Dominique Foxworth, and he must answer them whether he wants to or not. Here we go. First, Neek, is this a make-or-break season for Tua Tagovailoa?
I'd say no. Like, he's a first-round draft pick. As long as he's not just atrocious, I think that they will stick with him, because what is the alternative? I know they have the draft capital to make some moves and maybe move up in the draft, but everything we've heard about the quarterbacks in next year's draft is that there's nothing special necessarily there. And I guess they could try to make a move to find another quarterback to bring in, but I think as long as Tua shows some improvement, they'll stick with him.
All right, this is one I'd like to come back to because I don't think I see it the same way. In the meantime, let's speak of 3 quarterbacks we haven't seen yet. Which of these 3 starts the most games this year? Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones?
I think it's got to be Justin Fields. I think Mac Jones probably starts the least amount because they have Cam Newton and they believe in Cam Newton to some degree, and there's not a ton of pressure. They kind of were surprised to get a quarterback, but that's different. It's all different in Chicago. They have jobs and careers riding on how well this team does, and I don't think that Andy Dalton is the guy that anybody necessarily believes in to be able to lead this team into the future. So I think they turn to Justin Fields earlier than anyone else. I think Justin Fields is the only quarterback that I look at, of these 3 quarterbacks, he's the quarterback that I look at is most likely to start in week 1.
Okay, interesting. That's not the way they're positioning it there, so we'll talk about that. Finally, I want to show this again because I continue to be just startled by it. Fernando Tatis Jr., in what can only be described as one of the most athletic things I've ever seen a person do spontaneously, doing a split, and that's not even all of it, just what he does with his back leg, I don't know how to describe it. So here's my question to you. In your athletic prime, could you have done that?
Absolutely not. Like, you can break that down into 2 parts. There's the leg wobble at the beginning. I don't think I could do that without tearing any ligaments. And then there's the split. I could do that under no circumstances. I don't care how warm my body is. I don't care how much practice I got. I could never do the split, nor would I try. And then just a surprise split, I'm tearing all the muscles in my groin. We have a problem. So that's more impressive than a home run to me, because we see that much less frequently than we see a home. Oh, God, it hurts to watch, too, Greg.
It does. I mean, that video, to me, it should come underneath it like forced retirement. Like, the player involved in this has retired due to injuries from which he will never recover, psychological and otherwise. It is It remains one of the most amazing things I think I have ever seen. All right, Neek, well done. Meanwhile, let me get Jeremy Fowler in here because there's a bunch of football news I want to run through quickly. And Jeremy, let's start in Dallas. What is the latest on Dak?
Well, Greeny, the Dallas Cowboys have been really impressed with how Dak Prescott has looked in OTAs. I talked to somebody over there who said it doesn't feel like he's rehabbing separately from the team anymore. It just feels like he's part of the huddle doing Dak things, throwing the ball around. And they gave him a full practice, a full workload. The next step is pushing off on that ankle with commotion in the pocket. They feel good about that, though. Let's go to Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. They're taking it a little slower with him. He didn't get any 11-man work last week, but that was for the whole team. But I'm told he is pushing the limits, that if they give him 10 things to do in his rehab, he does all 10 and asks for an 11th. He's already developed a chemistry with Ja'Marr Chase from their LSU days. They've been throwing the ball around, so they believe Burrow is in a great place, on track for training camp to be pretty much a full go. Now, Odell Beckham, I talked to somebody who trains at Exos in Arizona, a veteran player who was around Beckham as he was rehabbing. He said Odell's doing Odell things again. He's moving around, looking like a freaky athlete. So that's good news for Cleveland. The Browns have been keeping abreast of his progress. He has not been in Cleveland, but he's expected to come back in minicamp sometime around mid-June. And his $14 million salary is mostly guaranteed for injury, so no more trade rumors. It's all about unlocking his potential in that offense.
All right, so that is fascinating to me. Let me bring everybody. So, Nika, and I'm going to come back to you here. So this is a team that the second half of last season looked just about as good as anybody. They made a nice, respectable playoff run, and they were right there with Kansas City at the end. And now they're going to add, to quote Jeremy Fowler, Odell doing Odell things. What is to stop a person, Dominique, from saying the Browns look like a Super Bowl team with Odell?
I mean, nothing except for their secondary and their quarterback. I think that Baker Mayfield shows some improvement, but I think he needs to take another step. And I think Odell can help with that. That offense had trouble creating big plays in the passing game. And Odell Beckham is a walking big play. Like, you throw him a slant, he can go all the way to the crib. Yeah. He can get behind your defense. So I think what stops them is Baker Mayfield. But Baker Mayfield, I know some people believe he's better without Odell Beckham, but nobody's better without this freak athlete out there making those big plays and committed to win the way that we all know he is.
But to your point, you think this is more about Baker than it is about Odell, no matter what happens?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that quarterback is the most important position on the team. I think they need to improve defensively. But the real difference is going to be when you get in those situations where everyone knows you have to pass. You can't rely on your running game and you're under pressure. Can you make five or six big plays in a playoff game or in a couple playoff games? That's what we need to see from Baker Mayfield. And it's not all on him. It's going to be important for them to have the right plays and the right players out there. But that's the guy who we're going to be looking at needing to take another step forward in order to make them a real Super Bowl contender.
So there's that. And then, Ninko, there's the other side of this. I thought it was really interesting. We were having a conversation before we came on this morning. You had that injury. You had a torn ACL, and the way sometimes that can impact the player's perspective on things.
Yeah, so Odell could have been injured, had his injury, recovering from his ACL, and is even more motivated to get back out there and to be even a better player. And look, you think about an injury, when you're an NFL football player, sometimes you become invincible. You think, oh, well, I've been playing a long time. And for me personally, when I had my ACL, it really made me realize that this game isn't guaranteed. There's nothing about this game guaranteed. So when you have to go through an injury like an ACL, your recovery is long. It's not easy. I know nowadays everyone's like, oh, he tore his ACL, be back in 8 months. Yeah, it's still 8 months of rehab, getting your body back to where it used to be. So this could potentially be a motivating factor for Odell, getting him back better than he was before. So, you know, the one thing about the league, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. So for him having an injury, he's trying to be better, probably trying to be better than he ever was. So
Jeremy, it could be a scary thing
to see him out there.
Sorry about that, Ninko. I kept talking over the end of your thought. That's my fault. Jeremy, put a ribbon on this thing here as far as the expectations on Odell.
Well, they just want to get him in a position where he can make plays. This is a run-heavy offense, and that's the biggest challenge. You ask people around the league, they say Odell might be better suited for a pass-happy attack where you can go four or five wide receivers and just let him loose. So the Browns, it's about finding a sweet spot to get him some splash plays, some deep downfield passing, some easy screens where he can go break a 50-yarder. They did a little bit of that. Kevin Stefanski wants to unlock that even more, and they know they have a top-five receiver when he's healthy. They want to get him back to that position in a big way.
All right, that seems to be one of the spots to watch most closely as we continue. Meanwhile, let's get up and go through the action of a busy weekend. And it begins with congratulations for Ilia Castroneves. He has joined the Indy 500's most exclusive group by becoming the fourth four-time winner, celebrating by scaling a fence yesterday, won it in front of 135,000 fans, the most at any sporting event since the start of the pandemic. Elsewhere, golf, Jordan Spieth really struggled on essentially his home course yesterday at the Colonial. The Dallas native, leading going into the final round in Fort Worth, wound up shooting a bogey-filled 3-over par 73 and finished behind Jason Kokrak, who shot an even par 70 to get the second win of his career. And after winning her first-round match at the French Open, Naomi Osaka followed through on her promise to skip a mandatory post-match press conference. She was fined $15,000. Tournament officials have threatened to kick her out if that media boycott continues. Coming up tomorrow night, Skylar Diggins-Smith and Brittany Griner leading the Mercury against Candace Parker on the Sky. That's at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. On ESPN2, the Fever square off against Breonna Stewart and the Storm. That's WNBA action coming your way. As we continue, how much trouble are the Lakers in after losing Anthony Davis to an injury and then losing their game? The latest is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.